1908. February 20th, 1908. Watchman, what of the night? Ellen G. White. Are the watchmen giving the trumpet a certain sound? Are the shepherds caring for the flock as those who must give an account? Are the ministers of God watching for souls, recognizing in them the purchase of the blood of Christ? Too often in the past, our people have had much sermonizing and little prayerful instruction on how to labor for others. The different lines of labor in which believers can engage have not been laid before them in such a way that they have been led to understand their duty and constrained to take up their work. Had the work that has been done in our churches have been established to work, company of self-denying workers would have been raised up in every place where churches have been established to work for unbelievers. Church members need to be taught that the measure of their success in ministering to souls will be the measure of their self-denial and their faithfulness in following Christ's example. Those who, while claiming to be Christians, think they have no church responsibility but to sit and listen to the preacher, fail of realizing the privileges of the children of God. What can be said to the idlers that will lead them to understand and arouse them from their do-nothing position? Oh, that Zion would arouse and put on her beautiful garments! Brethren and sisters, as members of the church, let us act our part faithfully. Let us not allow the light which is in us to go out because we refuse to give that light to others. God has given to every man his work. Not one is excused from service. All should seek for an education that will enable them to give the truth of the gospel to their fellow men. Every agency in the church should become a channel of light to the world. There are many who will receive the evidences given and will accept the truth. The youth are to take hold of this work of soul saving. All our talents are to be used to the glory of God. I saw one standing with outstretched arms, saying in a clear, ringing voice, "Come into line, come into line." Ministers, do not think that you have met all your responsibilities when you have delivered a long sermon in the church. It is your duty to train young men and women to do work for the Master. The Lord calls you to put forth all your ingenuity, that every church member may become a working member. Even the children should be encouraged to work. The children, the youth, and those of middle age should be taught to labor in missionary lines. Then call upon them in the missionary meeting to report what they have done and to tell of their success. The missionary meeting should be full of interest and life. "Ye are the light of the world," said Christ. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Those who heed the light God has given, line upon line and precept upon precept, will be endowed with the Spirit of God for their labors. Heavenly influences will go with them to help them meet the emergencies that will arise in their work. If church members will work and watch and pray, they will have light to comprehend and appreciate the work to be done for this time. Will the ministers and the presidents of our conferences allow church members to continue in their inefficient condition? Those who stand as overseers of the Church of God need to arouse to their duty and set souls to work. There is an abundance of work to be done, and the end is near. God calls upon the ministers to educate the people in various lines of labor and set in order the things that remain. Ye are laborers together with God. My ministering brethren, angels of God will be with you as you thus become mediums of strength and blessing to uphold and encourage the Church of God. We are certainly living in the closing days of this earth's history. We need to devote much time to our spiritual interests if we would experience the spiritual growth that is essential in this age. We are to make decided reforms. The voice said, the watchmen need to awake and give the trumpet a certain sound. The morning cometh, and also the night. Wake up, my watchmen. Voices that should now be heard presenting the truth are silent. Souls are perishing in their sins, and ministers and physicians and teachers are asleep. Wake up, the watchmen. Mrs. E. G. White, February 27, 1908. The Temperance Work, Ellen G. White. We need to have the temperance question revived among our own people. It would be a good thing if at our camp meetings we would invite the members of the U to take part in our exercises. This will help them to become acquainted with the reasons of our faith and will open the way for us to unite with them in temperance work. I have had some opportunity to see the great advantage to be gained by connecting with the U workers, and I have been much surprised as I have seen the indifference of many of our leaders to this organization. I call on my brethren to awake. We cannot do a better work than to unite, so far as we can do so without compromise, with U workers. By holding ourselves aloof from the workers in the U, our people have lost much, and the members of the U also have been on losing ground. In some matters, they are far in advance of our leaders on the important question of temperance. Mrs. E. G. White, in Unpublished Testimony, dated September 2, 1907. Let us strive to reach their hearts, not through the learned arguments of ministers, but through the wise efforts of women of influence and tact who can devote time and thought to this line of work. Mrs. E. G. White, in Special Testimony, dated April 18, 1900. July 2, 1908. Morning Reflections, Ellen G. White. The question is asked, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? Can you say this morning, I believe in the Lord Jesus. I live by the faith of the Son of God, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Savior is calling souls to come to him. The bells of heaven are ringing out the blessed invitation, come. The Spirit of God is pleading, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. These are precious words of encouragement and hope. It is the privilege and duty of every church member to consecrate heart and soul to God. At your baptism, you pledged yourselves to believe in God, to obey His word, to receive His grace. You pledged yourselves to live the principles of the gospel and to labor together with Christ with all the ability God has given you. None are excused for living idle lives. None can refuse to represent Him in word and deed and be guiltless. The presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three highest powers in the universe, and those in whose name the believer is baptized, is pledged to be with every striving soul. It will impart grace and strength to all who will watch unto prayer, to all who will purify the soul by obedience to the truth. And it will make the believer instrumental in leading other souls to accept Christ by faith. The duty to reflect light rests upon every church member. Ye are the light of the world, Christ declared to his followers. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If the believer fails of drawing light from the Sun of righteousness, he cannot reflect light. He that is not with me, Christ said, is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Those who do not cast their influence on the side of Christ, Satan imbues with his spirit to act in unison with the enemy of good. We cannot afford to do this, and thus violate the pledge we made at our baptism. When we give to the cause of evil the influence and ability which belong to the cause of truth, angels are disappointed, and Christ is dishonored. Those who are true to their baptismal pledge cannot be indifferent to the work of saving souls. To those who by their influence gather with Christ, angels will give ability to labor successfully for him. How precious to every soul should be the thought that his name upon the church books is the pledge that he is engaged in the service of Christ. The servant of God is to be learning constantly how he may reflect light to the world. By his earnest devotion to the cause of the coming King, he is to be a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. He has become dead to worldly inducements and lives unto God. And the words of his mouth, the modest dress, the humble spirit, unfailingly testify that he is a laborer together with God. Spiritual indolence brings discouragement to the church. The example of one indolent soul may do much harm, for it will be copied by others just according to the possibilities of its influence. The Lord calls upon all who profess his name to exalt his character before men, by words and works revealing their faith in him. In response to our desire to labor for Christ, heavenly angels will place opportunities before us by which we may make known the salvation of God. Ellen G. White, December 31, 1908. A Warning. Ellen G. White, Sanitarium, California. December 11, 1908. To our brethren in California. Last night, instruction was given me for our people. I seemed to be in a meeting where representations were being made of the strange work of Brother Mackin and wife. I was instructed that it was a work similar to that which was carried on in blank in the state of Maine, and in various other places after the passing of the time in 1844. I was bidden to speak decidedly against this fanatical work. I was shown that it was not the Spirit of the Lord that was inspiring Brother and Sister Mackin, but the same spirit of fanaticism that is ever seeking entrance into the remnant church. Their application of Scripture to their peculiar exercises is Scripture misapplied. The work of declaring persons possessed of the devil, and then praying with them and pretending to cast out the evil spirits, is fanaticism which will bring into disrepute any church which sanctions such work. I was shown that we must give no encouragement to these demonstrations, but must guard the people with a decided testimony against that which would bring a stain upon the name of Seventh-day Adventists, and destroy the confidence of the people in the message of truth which they must bear to the world. The Lord has done a great work for his people in placing them on vantage ground. It is the duty of the church to cherish its influence. Precious are the words, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." The words of inspiration, carefully studied and prayerfully obeyed, will thoroughly furnish unto all good works. As a denomination, we need to look more continually to God for guidance. We are living in an evil age. The perils of the last days are upon us. Because iniquity abounds, Satan presumes to bring in all kinds of delusive theories upon those who have tried to walk humbly with God and who are distrustful of self. Shall self-confident fanatical men come to these humble souls, assuring them that they are possessed of evil spirits, and after praying with them, affirm that the devil is cast out? Such are not the manifestations of the Spirit of God, but another spirit. I call upon every church to beware of being led to think evil of those who, because distrustful of self, fear that they have not the Holy Spirit. There are those who have followed their own ways instead of the ways of God. They have not acknowledged the light that God has graciously given, and because of this, they have lost the power to distinguish between darkness and light. There are many who have heard much in regard to the path they ought to follow, but who ignore the requirements God makes of them. Their light does not shine in works that reveal the principles of truth and holiness. It is this class who, in time of test, will accept falsehood and erroneous theories for the truth of God. Great light has been given to the people of God. Let our people awake and go forward to perfection. You will be exposed to fallacies of satanic agencies. Fearful waves of fanaticism will come, but God will deliver the people who will earnestly seek the Lord and consecrate themselves to His service. Signed, Ellen G. White.